Hello, and welcome to Your Next Mission, the podcast where we talk about the troubles and triumphs of veterans transitioning back into the civilian sector. Whether or not you are preparing to leave the military, you just left, or you've been out for several years but are still struggling, well, this podcast is for you. During each episode, we will talk to real veterans to find out what worked for them and what didn't. Today, I am here with Maurice Wilson, a retired Navy Master Chief Petty Officer with 25 years of service. Maurice is the President and Executive Director of the National Veterans Transition Services Incorporated and Reboot, a nonprofit organization he founded. I'm also here with our very own Talent and Development Program Manager at CCS Global Tech and CCS Learning Academy, Joshua Prado. Josh is a native San Diegan who has 8 years of service in the Navy, and just like Maurice, he has dedicated his mission to help veterans in all chapters of their lives. So welcome to our second podcast, and happy to have you both.
Hey, happy to be on, Kajal.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
All right, so nearly two-thirds of new veterans say they faced a difficult transition into civilian life. So as we mentioned on our previous podcast, it's all about helping veterans find their identity after service and offer some guidance on how to achieve that. Josh, tell us a little bit about your history.
So I'm, as you mentioned, from San Diego, California, and that's where CCS Global Tech is headquartered. Glad to be back in my hometown. Traveled all over the place when I was in the military, mostly air bases because I was in aviation. But yeah, my background is very, very diverse. So I guess in terms of my story, it's just a little bit of a history of how someone would get from their career in the military to working in the technology sector, which is where we're really driving to make an impact here at CCS. Initially, I was in the service post 9/11. I joined a program called National Call to Service. And that was either a 2 or 4 year obligation. And I joined as an avionics technician and worked on fighter airplanes and also on helicopters during that time. That was really amazing. I did that for three and a half years. And then I went into the reserves doing the same thing for about 7 or 8. So total service time, I spent about 10, almost 11 years in the Navy. Then I was left to transition, move into my next chapter.
And so what was your transition to civilian life like? Tell us about that.
It was just like you got dropped out of a portal from another world and back into the civilian world. So for a lot of folks, I tell them that we're joining the military. You know, that decision to go in, it may have been from a lot of factors, you know, whether it's family tradition. Both my grandparents were Navy chiefs. They came here from the Philippines, and that's how they ended up in San Diego. And so both my mom's dad and my dad's dad were both in the Navy. So I have a rich military history. My dad was in the Marines. So he's a big old school Desert Storm Marine. My brother is actually in the Air Force. He joined after me. My best friend, it was in the Navy. And then my sister actually is an executive in Hollywood. So she chose a little bit of a different path. But I was more than happy to return to my hometown after I got out of the service. To be completely honest, you know, a lot of times when you're joining that young and you join the service and you're gung-ho about everything, life doesn't work as you have planned it. You're doing a lot of things that you don't think that you would be doing when you join the military. That's a common bond, is that you have a great grand idea. Some folks, they may work out that way. Their career path is very straightforward. But for me, I expected to do certain things and travel the world and do all these things. But what I really learned from that time was how to work hard, how to be committed, how to form a bond with your brothers through thick and thin and your sisters that are serving next to you. But transitioning out, you really just feel like you're all by yourself and you're back at square one. You're kind of like, okay, maybe I skipped college, or maybe I went to college or joined the military. And now what is my next path? Because, you know, if I'm not going to do exactly the same thing that I did in the service, then I've got to choose something. And for me, my first two positions that I was choosing in between when I got out of the military was working at a call center doing customer support for less than $20 an hour. I'd say it's probably like $12 or $13 an hour, or managing a suit store, because I wasn't leveraging the skills that I had from the technical side from the military, which was working on radars and GPS and electronics. I didn't want to do that as my next career. So I really didn't know. You know, I kind of started off at square one. That's how most people feel when they get out. I'm sure any chance that I get it to help somebody in that position when they're transitioning out of the service, going back to their hometown, or maybe they set up shop where they live, it can be a very, very stressful time period.
Did you go right into getting into college? You went straight into finding that $12, $15 an hour job right away?
Yeah, like much like a lot of the folks that I talk to on a daily basis, they're, and Maurice can attest to this, you're so used to working not a normal schedule. You're not punching the clock 9 to 5. You are working for Uncle Sam, 12, 14 hours a day, losing sleep. And you're used to this working so much that the idea of going back to school, which might have been something that you're running away from, or maybe you didn't choose to do once you joined the service, the idea of school, even though I had access to the GI Bill and able to go to school, I wanted to work. I was so used to working. So I didn't care what that was. And so I took that momentum and I decided to work. I worked at the telecom company here locally. It was a much welcome break to sit inside of a cubicle and talk on the phone versus running around in 120 degree weather, chasing airplanes and swapping out parts. So I chose to do that. I didn't choose to pursue education or any sort of personal development at the time. I definitely wish that I would have earlier on. So I did make that decision a little bit later down the road. A couple of years later, I felt like I was hitting a ceiling because I didn't have a college degree. I wasn't using the skills that the military taught me from a technical standpoint. I decided to go back to school about 3-4 years later after I got out.
And what were your biggest hurdles in transitioning during that piece when you were working, an air conditioned cubicle there? But did you find that there were a lot more hurdles when you were going out, since you didn't go right into education, you went straight into the workforce?
I think the hurdles were staying motivated and, not getting caught up into the same things that you were doing. Especially if you go back to your hometown, you see all your old friends and you're like, okay, I was in the service, I worked hard, and now I'm just going to come back. Life's going to be easy. It's going to be okay. For me, yeah, it was just really taking that mindset from the military of continually advancing and improving your position. And I felt like that if you don't do something drastic, I was going to be doing dead-end job, or I was going to be doing something that was not a career for sure if I didn't go to school. And what really gave me a kick in the pants to do that was I had a baby, I had a daughter. And so as soon as she was born, I activated my GI Bill and went right back to school. However, doing it at that time, I switched. I worked from that telecom company. I worked at a sporting goods store. So I was a manager for a sports store in Central California for about 5 years. And during that time, I was working, I was going to school at night or online, and I was still actually in the reserves doing reserve duty there. And I really enjoyed that. So I really didn't completely detached from the military as a reservist. I was fortunate. I worked in the squadrons that I used to work in, or a similar squadron as what I did when I was active duty. So I hadn't fully detached from the military at that time. And then I had to transition out of that again once I left the reserve. So I had really two transition periods. One was back in about 07, 08. And then most recently was in about 2016, after I decided to end my career in the reserves as well.
Looking for your next mission in tech? Take our Find Your Next Mission quiz. We match your interest and affinities with our knowledge of the tech sector to identify which tech career is the right fit for you. So maybe you should go into something like cybersecurity, or maybe you're more likely to enjoy the business intelligence field, or even software development. Wherever your tech interests lie, go to ccsla.com/vets to take the personalized quiz and start finding your next mission today. And do you think that it is hard to detach from the years of service that you put in, or was it easy, or was it a bit harder for you?
I think it's never easy. One parallel that we find in the transition space is, it's crazy as it may seem, but there's a very similar, mental transition process for folks that play professional sports and they have to leave the NFL or the NBA. It's the same thing for somebody who was in the military as their first real career. They take off that uniform and they're like, I'm not my rank. I'm not this uniform anymore. People don't answer to me. You're really back to, I'm just, who am I as a person? that can be a difficult thing for folks that have been in the service for 20 years, 20 plus years. It's very difficult to detach yourself from your life in the uniform. We work with a lot of folks that transition from multiple careers, and you're always changing what your maybe your day-to-day function is, whether your title changes, you know, senior, junior, whether you're in your tech or non-tech, but you're still yourself. And you have to be comfortable in that skin, whether you've got collar devices on and you're an officer or senior enlisted, or if you're just in a plain t-shirt, or if you're in a three-piece suit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really knowing your identity, or at least finding who you are after service. And Maurice and I talked a lot about that on our last podcast. It's really more of a common theme on this podcast. And Maurice, through reboot, switching, and reprogramming the mind after service, I know you've given a lot of guidance on that. So does Josh's story really resonate with the things that you hear all the time, even today?
Oh, you know, I was sitting here taking some copious notes, and I was saying to myself how many times within the last 11 plus years I've heard similar stories of how difficult or challenging it is to reinvent yourself. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't necessarily get until you're in it. And so one day you're in the uniform and life is good. You know who you are, why you're there, and you know what your mission is. And then the next day, all of that gets just crushed away. And you're like, well, okay, well, who am I? You know, I got to create my new self-image. I got to find out my new mission in life. And then I have to find my new work passion. And so it's sort of like starting all over again, but with no real guidance on how to do that. Yes, we have benefits. Yes, we have the VA. Yes, we have a lot of those resources out there, but a lot of that assumes that you know what you want to do. And when you don't know what it is you want to do, it makes that whole transition much easier. And as I was listening to Josh, I was just reflecting on how with some people, it may take up to 5 years for them to reacclimate without any kind of help. The person is going to have to acclimate themselves, adjust and adapt, you know, hook, crook, by whatever means, take it day by day, take a couple of pot shots on the chin here and there, fail forward, et cetera, et cetera. And so that number is anywhere from 5 years to 12 years to readjust, you know, to get that mindset back, even though there are some that just never do. They stay stuck in a mental loop in terms of their subconscious mind, their self-image, their identity, their purpose. Well, they still believe they're part of the military. They're like, I really want to go back. I really like that kind of environment. It was very helpful. And so what Josh was saying was really resonating. You know, I mean, there are things that veterans go through that could predispose us to homelessness, PTSD. While you're trying to redefine yourself or figure out where you fit in your head, you're feeling stress, fear, uncertainty. You're out of phase because you really haven't figured out where you fit in. Your biorhythms are sort of like off kilter. You're in a state of cognitive dissonance. And so you're just really trying to find where is my fit. And I'd be really interested to hear from Josh. At what point in his transition, or let me change the word from transition to his reintegration, because that's really what's going on. Once you leave the military, you know, you've transitioned from one job to the next job. And I really appreciated what Josh said. When he came back home, he was reintegrating back into that environment. You know, we call them the ecosystem. And Josh, at what point did it finally click that I got my rhythm, I got my biorhythm, I'm in phase now, this is where I'm feeling comfortable now?
I don't know. I think that it's a continual thing you do on a daily basis is getting used to the status quo of where you're at. Circling back to what we were saying is that, and it's a blessing and a curse, is never really attaching yourself to your job title or a particular uniform or dress code. I think that I'm really fortunate to have a diverse background, both with my career and with, you know, my upbringing, that I could never really actually do that anyways. If I were to do that, I think I would pigeonhole myself into a specific career or a specific mindset, and I wouldn't be where I am today. And so if anybody gets to know me, I think if you were to reverse engineer where I'm at now as somebody who's had experience in higher education and semiconductor engineering was my previous job, was teaching engineers and now recruiting and leading initiatives in the IT space as a community. That totally baffles me. Some people have the luxury of attaching themselves to something and being comfortable. I think if I would have gone with my normal plan, which was to go OCS route and do things that I think would have given me some sort of puffed up head, then it wouldn't have driven me to where I am today. Coming from a kid who was just good at shooting basketball from Southeast San Diego, being a local kid who really didn't have an education when he got out, to being able to help other folks with master's degrees and myself being able to get a master's degree thanks to the military and get training and get opportunities because of my military background. I'm able to do a lot of media opportunities like this podcast right now, and I don't necessarily share as much. You know, I never would have thought that I would be able to do that. And I like to show people as well my initiatives and my mission is to help veterans that were like myself, that didn't have maybe the opportunities. Some people have it a little bit easier than others to figure out what that path is after the military. But for me, I felt like, you know, I was always handed, you know, a card, which was more challenging than everybody else. You know, I didn't have an education when I got out. So I had to work, do school at night, and I had to do all the things that were hard. But that made me the person that I am to say, hey, you know, if I can do it, somebody else can do it. My dad's a Marine. My grandparents were Navy chiefs, and all of them broke stereotypes. I think that's the biggest thing, is the stereotype of a military transitioning into the civilian world. A lot of times you get held down by stereotypes. And both my grandparents came from the Philippines, which were traditionally in the military. They were cooks back then. One of them was a yeoman and one of them was an AZ actually. And then my dad was a Marine, which tech jobs weren't really the focus for Marines before, because they've got a specific mission. And my dad became a laser engineer. So I've got that as my family history to say, hey, you know what? Even if you've not got the best opportunities handed to you, scholarships or, you know, opportunities to go to Ivy League schools, using the experience that you have, using the resources that fortunately, no matter what, if you were a special operations veteran or you were a veteran who served and just pushed paper, it doesn't matter. You still serve this country and you can get the resources and you can leverage that to whatever career that you want to be. It just so happens that we're able to support veterans in the tech space and I'm able to speak that lingo because of my experience. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't be successful in any other pursuit that you have, whether it's entrepreneurship or operations or logistics or anything. We have a specific mission, and my specialty now that people know me for is personal branding and marketing in the tech space. And personal branding comes from your mission, your vision, and your values. And so to answer your question, Maurice, it was long-winded, but to answer your question of what moment did I find some comfort was to know what my mission and vision and values were after the military. So I attached myself to that. That was my new brand. Is my mission in the military was to support our air operations through aircraft maintenance and day-to-day flight schedules and all the stuff that we did to help against the war on terror. And then after that, my mission is to help people progress in their careers and change their mindset and take advantage of resources. So if I can do that, whether that be individually through me or through a program like Reboot or transition programs across the U.S., I'm willing to help because I actually experienced that myself.
No, that was excellent. And I really appreciate you going into depth on it as well. And I'll just kind of summarize that defining moment is one of the things that many veterans are in pursuit of. When you join the military, you instantly get three things. You get a new identity, you get a mission, which is really tied to your purpose, and then you're given an occupation that is well-suited for both you and the military. And so that's almost that instant self-identification, that instant value, that instant, okay, I belong to something. And that's what drives us. You know, that gives us the energy to move forward every day. And then you take off the uniform, and that's where it's sort of like your existence is erased away. Okay, my identity's gone. You know, my purpose in life is gone. No longer have a mission. And my passion for the work that I was doing okay, I have to a clean slate. I have to start all over again. And that is really, for a lot of people, terrifying. And that's really what really spins up a lot of veterans in terms of why we get into scenarios like homelessness or underemployment, is that we really haven't had that methodology or way of actually finding that. And that's the work that we do in Reboot, which is, you know, within 3 weeks, scientifically designed to help individuals figure it out, guide them to that decision where now they're able to self-identify. This is who I am. This is my new self-image. And then automatically discover, hey, this is my new purpose in life, or my new vision statement, my new mission. And now here's my passion for work, which is, and like Josh said, always wanted to help someone. So again, now, you know, he's in service. He's got an identity. He's got a purpose in life. And now he has passion, which is a way to actually get out there and show others how to do it. That's what we all look for as veterans.
Yeah, definitely. Any tips or advice to find that mission, vision, and value? You know, I know it takes a lot longer than this 30, 40 minute podcast that we're doing, but anything that can help listeners kind of take away from hearing that, yeah, it is hard to transition. There's going to be a lot of hurdles, but what could be maybe the first step that you can talk about?
People get all kinds of advice. There are a lot of books out there. There are a lot of speakers. I mean, there are a lot of things in the veteran universe that you could listen to. But the one thing, or one person that you listen to the most, is yourself. You can't turn off that voice inside of your head. And so what you have to do, and I'll just kind of shorten it up, is you have to control that voice inside of your head. We call that you have to manage your self-talk, because that's either going to talk you into the right thing or talk you out of it.
Yeah, I think lots of good resources.
Yeah, and Kajal, if I may just interject, as I said, there's like a huge library of transition books. I can send you a list, a library where individuals can read other stories. There are ongoing webinars where you can sign in and have conversations. But at the end of the day, there is a somewhat of a therapeutic nature to this whole scenario, that you need to have good guidance that really can help you get from one end to the next, if you will. Other than that, many will have to, and I call it, wander in the woods for a little while until they find their way. And let me also say this, and again, I'm sorry for grandstanding, but please do not try to do this by yourself. And that could be a big problem with a lot of folks, where they're just trying to toughen it up versus find a battle buddy, talk to a battle buddy, connect with others. We have in San Diego, we have a lot of wonderful self-help lines. We have one called Courage to Call that can connect you to resources. And that's where a lot of the transitioning service members and veterans have the biggest challenges, that when they leave the military, they're out of the network and they're on their own, where there are great groups in most of the regions. Like San Diego has what we call the Veterans Coalition, which are hundreds of organizations all working together. What I suggest to the veterans out there, if you're out there by yourself, tap into a network, connect with collaborations and coordinated groups, and just talk to someone. Don't be alone. Join the VFW, join the American Legion, join Veterans of Foreign War. There are so many great organizations out there. Become part of something and just try not to do this by yourself.
I really think that it is breaking down that barrier and facing that fear, not by yourself, but with resources, with, you know, as you said, a buddy or somebody to help you with that, and not facing that alone. You have to get internalized for yourself to say that it's going to be fearful, it's going to be scary, but you've got to be up for that challenge, right? And break down those barriers within yourself to get to the point where Maurice, you are, or where Josh is, or where somebody is 6 months from now, right? We all progress over time. I think it's breaking down that fear and not being so headstrong, right? We've got to kind of like being too strong is sometimes not good for us, right? We've got to break down those walls.
It's the team mentality that a lot of those leadership books and a lot of the transition resources stem from, the strategies that we employ, and being able to, you know, not only help veterans that are similar in career paths that I took or Maurice took, but also very many of the folks that served in special operations, they have a team mentality, and some more than others. You know, when you're in a tight-knit group under pressure, you have a team mentality, and you should carry that on to your career after the military. I didn't have a team when I got out. So I really feel like now that's the emphasis, is to build a team of people. As Maurice said, it's a network. So going back to my experience, is in two different areas, key areas of my life, was going to school for business. My undergrad was in business, and then also running a business as a business manager, and as also working in engineering. I took one key concept out of this, because there's so many resources that are out there now as compared to 10, 15 years ago, that it can be even stressful, just that factor. So is navigating those resources and tapping into the right ones. And so having people around you that can help guide you, that's super, super important. One of the key philosophies and concepts from my last experience in the semiconductor engineering world was that business is comprised of people, products, and processes. So the product is how you make your money and what you do, your function, which can change over the course of 5 or 10 years. You could be doing one thing and doing something the next day to make your money. But what's really important is, separately from the product, is the process in which you live your life and the people that you surround yourself with. So if you've got those best practices of, I need mentors, I need to volunteer in my community and help other people up and get to the place where I am, no matter how far up that is, whether I'm the CEO or if I'm just, you know, just 2 years out from transition. We see a lot of that in our community, is that everybody's trying to help each other grow. So no matter what, to piggyback on Maurice's point, is just don't do it by yourself, is to have an emphasis on the people that you surround yourself with, whether they're at the organizations that you volunteer with or that you aspire to work for, or that are in an industry that you're attracted to. Surround yourself with the right people. Create a process for yourself when you're transitioning out. How do I factor in using my education benefit? How do I factor in my mental health support? How do I factor in my day-to-day wellness and physical activity now that somebody isn't telling me to work out every single day? There's all these different things that are moving parts. So doing it by yourself, you may take 10 years to figure that out, like Maurice said, or you could take 2 years to figure that out, because you make the right decisions and you take a step back and you say, I've got to define and build a framework for my transition. Because if you just leave it so broad as I'm transitioning out, you could be transitioning out for 20 years and still be in the same mindset. And I treat somebody the same, whether they were in the service for 2 years or they were in the service for 25 years and they were single-handedly doing amazing heroic things. It's all the same when it comes to building your next step and helping people make the right decisions. If we can do that, I know that our team is all about that. I'm all about that. Maurice is all about that. So you can reach out to us, although there are nationwide programs, you know, that you can tap into and you can reach out to us to connect with. And we're fortunate to be one of those, because we do employment programs and placement assistance nationwide. Now, due to this COVID pandemic, we're able to do online training for a lot of things. So there's no shortage of resources. I think if you take anything from this, it's to reach out and seek guidance and not do it alone. Otherwise, you may be just wandering, like Marie said earlier. So that's my 2 cents there on that. Hopefully it resonates with the folks that hear this podcast. We're able to provide some support. I would say don't see a transition workshop as just a transition workshop. Don't see a recruiting company as just a recruiting company. These are all functions of what we do, but that's not who we are. And, you know, learning who you are and what your next mission is the most important thing. And if your mission is to help people and to help yourself, you'll be successful.
I just want to add one interesting fact that we discovered. You've heard the statistics about the number of veteran suicides per day, which is somewhere around about 20, 21 suicides per day. And that's a very bad number. We looked into that number, and what we found was that roughly 60% of that particular number, those individuals are not connected to any teams. They're not connected to a network. They're not affiliated. They're just out there by themselves trying to self-navigate, trying to figure it out. And it's sort of like the mind is eating itself, bad thought after bad thought after bad thought, because the answers just don't come. And so that's a strong, not just business case, but survival case that says, connect with your buddies, get into a network. Don't try to do this by yourself. It typically won't end up very well because you need diverse thoughts, different thinking, other options, more resources, and someone to help you really look at where you are and help you plot to the next course. And again, like Josh said, there's an upside and a downside to this pandemic that we're coming out of, which is the downside is the horrific impact that it's had on the lives lost, the economy and people, and even some of the psychological damage that we're going to have to deal with. But the upside of it is that it made us all think outside of the box in terms of how we interact with each other, how do we extend our programs nationwide. And so for us, it really got us out of the box and to start thinking about how can we make Reboot available to that individual veteran in Omaha, in Montana, way back there in Nebraska, that really doesn't have access to these programs here. And so at this point, you don't have to do this alone anymore. The workshop, as far as Reboot is concerned, is totally free. It's online and it's accessible to you. All you need is just an internet connection. And within 2 or 3 weeks, we can help you get back on your feet as far as, again, that identity piece. And then we can connect you to now the next phase of your life, which is the career side of the house. And again, this is where CCS comes in. Opportunities for learning new technology that are basically online. We sort of covered a lot of the ground that was missing and filled in a lot of the gaps. And so you do not have to do this alone and you do not have to suffer. And right now, relief is almost but a phone call or a mouse click away.
So Josh, I want to ask you, what's one thing or two things that you missed about being in the military?
The biggest things I missed is the camaraderie. You're with people every single day for majority of the day, longer than you would in a civilian environment most of the time. So you learn to work with people and really enjoy things that may not be enjoyable. So I think that that's the case is, you know, the further you get along in your career, you get to do what you want to do and you can separate yourself from groups and people and you can make yourself comfortable. And in the military, the environment is so close knit, whether you're on a boat or you're on an airstrip or you're on a helicopter, that you're in a way forced to deal with what's in front of you and to the left and the right of you. And that environment is good for anyone, unless you're somebody who's a solo practitioner or whatever art that you practice or career that you choose. Most of the time, dealing with people and motivating people and motivating each other is not something that you have to do every second of every day. So I think that's something that I miss about the military is even in the most glamorous of things or even in the worst of things, your people, they become family, they become brothers and sisters, whether they're from another state or other side of the world. You just get to work with some of the most amazing people. And that's why I enjoy working in tech as well, is because I work with not only veterans from all different career paths, but you get to work with engineers from all over the world. My last job, I was able to teach engineers from Korea and from China and from the Netherlands. That experience is very similar to being in the military, is working towards a common goal to where nothing else matters other than working as a team and creating something that is a viable end product or accomplishing a mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you have any life lessons that you've learned from working here at CCS and working with veterans?
I think the life lesson is that every move forward is a good thing. They call it imperfect action. They call it violence of action. There's a lot of different terminology around the military to how you move forward. Nothing is a step backwards. Maybe you decide to do one thing versus another. The fact that you've even decided to do that is a good thing. So if you're pursuing a career in tech and you decide to do a certification class, or you decide to take a boot camp, or you decide to put yourself out there in the job market and work your way up, it's all relevant. You know, there's nothing that's irrelevant. I take my lessons from working at McDonald's and then working in the military and then working as a manager of a sports store and then working with engineers from all over the world. Every single step was a step in the right direction. My personal career is a non-linear pathway to tech. I mean, recreating that would probably not make sense on any sort of whiteboard. It might be a little bit easier if you're looking, hey, I want to be a programmer. I take this course. I learn this software. I keep on continuing. For some folks, their roadmap is a little bit more straight line. But for me, you know, you can also take a non-linear pathway to tech. You don't have to be someone with prior experience. I'm able to give relevant information, valuable information, and provide opportunities to folks that I may not be the expert in. But what I have become an expert in, I think, is giving a high-level overview of the infrastructure of what we're doing. And so this is probably speaking to all the technical folks. You know, let's say you come from the Marines and you're saying, hey, locate, close with, and destroy. You know, you're not doing that anymore. Now you're doing something which is I'm analyzing, I'm designing a plan, I'm developing something, and then I'm implementing it and I'm executing, and then I'm learning from that and I'm starting right back at analyzation. It's a process, and creating those processes and framework. I'm not a routine person, but in order to get something done, you have to create a framework, whether it's a project plan or a business plan. Those life lessons for me are invaluable to not discount anything from your past, any piece of your military career, whether it was a stellar career, 25 years with all kinds of medals, or you did 4 years and you didn't get to do what you wanted to do. At the end of the day, you get access to the same exact benefits. You're going to be able to provide for yourself and your family and for your community if you make the right decisions. So the earlier that you make those decisions to take action, the quicker you're going to get to your goal. So that'd be my piece on life lessons.
Perfect. Thanks. Appreciate that. I think that those can go a lot further for somebody, especially when they're in that transition piece as well. Like what you've done in the past, don't just think that they don't matter, because it does matter. And molds you to who you are and what you're going to be doing, whether it's in your career, personal life. Because I see sometimes some service members who don't put their military service on their LinkedIn profile, and they just go straight into either tech or what they're currently doing and leave the military service behind. Any insight on why somebody might do that, or do we want to promote and encourage people to keep that on there? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple ways to answer that question. But from a recruiting standpoint, team building, cross-functional leader, we see that too much. It's not about using buzzwords, just like corporate jargon. I would say rather glean the things that are functional, relevant pieces. If you were in logistics or you were an operations officer, that's the same mindset that you would take if you're doing cybersecurity or you're doing a network administration job. It can be operational and task-oriented. It's important to know where you came from and to take those pieces out of your military experience and make sure that you emphasize those during your career and your transfer into tech. Because if somebody were to just look at you and they want to know how it's relevant that you were a canine dog handler in the Army, they may not see the relevance. But what you need to translate is that I executed from point A to point B this task that was given to me. If now my next job is to do penetration testing or to run a diagnostic, I can do that too, because I did it in some sort of way in the military. So I know that a lot of the emphasis is put on skill translation. There's hundreds of jobs in the military that you could have done. And they say, hey, how does it translate to the civilian sector? You know, this is a non-tech job that I did for 20 years, and now I'm trying to go into tech and I'm starting at zero. You're not starting at zero. You have operational, function that you did in the military that applies to operations in a business. You have a technical proficiency or competency that you maybe have picked up if you did work in some of the technical roles in the military, perhaps. And so, you know, that's important to translate, is to translate what's functional, what's relevant, what competencies that you had. That type of lingo is what translates into the language that's spoken in the engineering and in the IT space. The technical jargon across engineering and IT is very similar. So I think it's more of a translation of military jargon to how does that do anything for me in the engineering world? How can you complete this project for me? And then you have to answer that based on your experience. It's okay that you weren't in tech if you weren't. And if you were, then that's great. I think that I would strongly disagree with leaving that out of your resume or your LinkedIn, because if you analyze that piece of your career and that part of your life, once again, going back to, you know, the steps forward, all of those things that you did, if you really were committed to doing what you did on a high level, then those things are going to translate. What's difficult getting out of the military is separating yourself from everybody else. Just like in the job market, you have to separate yourself from everyone else. Think outside the box and come up with ways to express yourself and be creative about how your military career translates to success after the service.
I think we can have a whole podcast on this alone and really dive a lot deeper in this, because I think it's something common that I see as I see lots of LinkedIn profiles and as we work with our clients for our projects. A lot of times it's just not listed, which I think is unfortunate. So Josh, in every episode, we are going to ask three hot questions to our guests. And today I want to ask you the same and put you on the spot a little bit. What's one of your greatest fears?
Greatest fear. Okay. Greatest fear for me is not being able to help each individual person that reaches out to me, because the more that I make myself available and the more that I market what I'm doing, sometimes I feel like it's a lot to handle if I'm doing it alone. So sometimes I feel like, you know, if I delay a response or if I don't send an email, that I'm going to miss that opportunity with that person. So just not being as responsive. I'm fortunate to be able to use a platform like social media to get out there. And so I get a lot of requests for calls and meetings, and sometimes I'm fearful that I'm not going to get to everybody. So I give 100% of myself to, you know, every single person that I do speak with. And so I have to be okay with that. And I'm glad that we're expanding our operations and our team to where we're able to make that impact. And it's not just on me.
Yeah, definitely. What do you say is your biggest challenge today?
I think the biggest challenge is just that military personnel, getting to them, there's not one way to get in touch with everyone. If you're thinking about communications and you want to communicate, hey, I've got this great program, I've got this great nonprofit, I've got this great thing, you do have to make sure that you invest time in building relationships across the nation and even across the globe, because it's not like, oh, post jobs on this one channel, or I'm going to post in this group, or I'm going to send this email and everybody in the whole military is going to get it. We have different branches. We have different folks all across different area codes and different states. And so there's not one right way to do it, but you have to work in collaboration. And so the biggest challenge is working alongside and continually building a stronger network so that we can reach more people. And that's the challenge. But being in the military transition space, everybody is amazing. And everybody that I've worked with has been more than happy to connect and share resources across the board. It's not an individual effort.
One last question. What's your next mission?
My next mission is to continue on and expand the opportunities that are given to me in the tech sector. I think that with COVID shifting a lot of folks into understanding how important technology is in the future. If you're a military and you're going into tech, you've got a bright future. I think that my next mission is the same as my current mission. You know, I know what my mission is, and it's to help people, you know, progress in their personal and professional careers.
Perfect. Well, thank you to Maurice and Josh for spending time with me today on Your Next Mission podcast.
It was indeed a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Maurice. Appreciate it.
This was great. I enjoyed it. Again, you opened up my eyes even to more and made me start thinking about things that I had forgotten about. And so this is not only good for the folks that are going to be listening to it, it's actually good for us to talk about this again and reacquaint ourselves with some of those things that we're in this industry to help people with. So appreciate this.
We hope you enjoyed our talk with Josh and Maurice and maybe even got some advice that you found useful. If you have a question for us or one of our guests, please send us an email at veterans@ccsglobaltech.com. That's veterans@ccsglobaltech.com. We are also always looking for our new guest on the show, so if you have a story to tell and that you think other veterans might find useful, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, best of luck on your next mission.